The finals for the Men's World Cup are on Sunday. Mighty France versus underdog Croatia. A winner will be crowned, celebration and sadness will ensue, and then that will be it for World Cup soccer until the women's tournament next year in France. The men will get another shot in 2022 in Qatar. But so far, the main story of that tournament has been off the field.
Thank you for giving Qatar a chance, and we will not let you down.
To say Qatar was a controversial choice would be an understatement.
Accidents are frequent.
In just the last 5 years, 680 Nepali workers have died in Qatar, 184 in the last year alone.
At that rate, more than 4,000 workers could die before a ball is kicked in 2022.
You come across a lot of workers whose wages have been withheld.
Filmmaker Adam Sobel lived in Qatar for 5 years, where foreign workers outnumber Qataris at least 4-1.
Workers whose contracts have been torn up in front of their face. Workers who are required to work 7 days a week, who are never able to leave the country because their employer won't let them. So that is a fairly common occurrence in Qatar.
Adam Sobel has a new documentary called The Workers' Cup, and it's about a tournament for the laborers who were building the stadiums for the 2022 World Cup.
The companies that we followed over the course of filming this project, they abided by the law perfectly. I think that what you find is that the standard of living in Qatar for a migrant worker and the standard of regulations is so subpar that even people who are applying the letter of the law, their workers feel really isolated from society. They feel really lonely. They feel exploited on a lot of levels. For the workers in our film, you know, we had people who certainly were exploited by recruiting agents in their countries of origin. So one character in particular, Kenneth, he was told that he was actually moving to Qatar to play professional soccer. He was a soccer player, and that's what he was told he was going to be doing once he got there.
The agent asked me to pay $1,500. It's a lot of money in Ghana. I came with a company here and I told them about it. And they were like, they are not doing anything here as football. They are not doing anything of that kind. So my agent lied to me.
And then once he arrived in the country, they gave him a hard hat and a pair of overalls. And they said, hey, you get to work. And he said, wait a minute, I'm a soccer player. And they said, no, you're a construction worker. Now, in that case, the company would just say, you know, they would kind of plead ignorance and say that they weren't the ones actually who recruited him. It was a third-party agent who did that. But I think that that is by design.
The theme of this film, The Workers' Cup, is around exactly that, the Workers' Cup. Now, we're in World Cup season now. Tell us about what this event is and what it means to these workers.
So the Workers' Cup is a soccer tournament that was organized by the same committee that's organizing the World Cup in Qatar. Their name is the Supreme Committee for Delivery and Legacy, a rather grandiose title, but you know, Qatar does grandiose pretty well.
Sounds like it's pretty up there, yeah.
It is, yeah. And so they've been pretty roundly criticized by international media for Qatar's human rights record and especially their labor record. And so I think that they organized this tournament partially as a PR ploy to kind of elevate their appearance in the international media. They were trying to show the world that, hey, we take workers' rights seriously. See, we've organized a soccer tournament just for them.
Now, you follow one company's team, and we obviously don't want any spoilers, no endings here, but give us a sense of what that team's story was.
Yeah, that team is called GCC. It's the Gulf Contracting Company. So in the tournament, each construction company brings a team of their workers to compete. And their company's team is made up of players from various nationalities. There's guys from India, from Nepal, from Kenya, and from Ghana. And their coaches from Egypt, and their managers are from India, and then the general manager is from South Africa. So it's kind of this interesting international array, which I think is appropriate when you're, you know, making a film that by proxy kind of is referencing the World Cup. And what I was really drawn to with this team is that, I mean, first of all, they just had so much passion and zest for the game. They really loved the opportunity to compete, and they played with it. You know, they treated it, I think, just as seriously as you would find the players in the World Cup treating this tournament. I mean, it meant everything to them.
So are you ready, coach?
I'm ready.
We want another one!
We want another one!
And I'm wondering if part of the reason it's so important and they take it so seriously is also because this is probably one of the only outlets that these workers have. They, from what we understand, are working extremely long hours, extremely long days, a lot of isolation, as you mentioned. Could that be part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that when we started making this project, we always knew that the tournament was in some way, you know, a metaphorical escape for the guys playing in it, that it would represent this kind of psychological escape. Workers in Qatar are so cut off from society, and they're desperate for some way to participate. They were desperate to break their mundane routine. You know, they're caught in this loop of just kind of waking up, getting on a bus, driving oftentimes very far to get to their construction site, working a very long day, sometimes in terrible heat, getting back on the bus, driving back to their labor camp and going to sleep. And this is the loop that their life is caught in. And this tournament broke the loop in a way that they were desperate for.
There was one person in the film, one worker, his name is Paul, and he said he hides his life in Qatar from his friends back home in Kenya.
The life that I'm living here, I try to hide it from my friends back home because they won't understand it. Their perception of being abroad is, you know, the high life, the nice places you get to visit, you know. But the life that I'm living here, I think it's a different life, man.
Can you tell us about Paul?
Yeah, Paul's a very young guy, actually. He's 20 years old when we meet him, and he is from Kenya. And he had worked in Westgate Mall, which was the site of a really terrible terrorist attack in Nairobi. He was working there at a coffee shop. And, you know, after the terrorist attack, he lost his job because the mall had to be shut down. And it was for that reason that he ended up being recruited to come to Qatar. So, you know, I think that that's indicative of a lot of people. It's not just people who were drawn to Qatar. They aren't just misled to end up there necessarily by, you know, an evil recruiting agent. In many cases, they just feel like they have no other economic option. And that is in some ways an exploitation on a deeper level.
Adam Sobel is a filmmaker and the director of The Workers' Cup. Adam, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
To find out where you can watch The Workers' Cup, go to thetakeaway.org.